Well, friends, if you're watching online today, either on Zoom or on Facebook, and you're not a person who normally finds yourself in church, I want to say welcome. It is interesting over lockdown, lots of churches are noticing that all kinds of people are taking the opportunity to take a look at church without actually having to turn up in person, which is an unexpected bonus. And I do want to say at the outset this morning to any of you who have somehow been alienated by church in the past or hurt by church or skeptical, disappointed by what you've seen or experienced of church, you are far from alone. An Anglican colleague of mine in a regional diocese in New South Wales says these days there are no children or youth activities in the whole region, not just in the churches, but anywhere. No scouts, no boys brigade, no church kids clubs or youth groups. Because for years, an Anglican clergyman had been organising a paedophile ring that involved lawyers and police and politicians and other high-level priests, all acting with impunity. And now nobody in that community can be trusted, especially not the church. So again, can I say to you this morning, if you're online as our guest today, or even if you're a sceptical regular at Scott's, the one thing I'm asking you to do this morning is to come back with me for a moment, not back to religion, but to the words of the real Jesus, and to hear some of the best things he ever said. This is part two in an occasional series where we're just cherry-picking some of the surprisingly good things that Jesus said that have maybe over the years just been ignored or else not put into practice. It was, I think, Gandhi who said, "It's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting, it's that it hasn't really been tried at all." So I invite you this morning to listen to Jesus for yourself and to revisit with me the Bible passage that Judith just read. And just ask yourself, in the context of today, where you think the real Jesus would fit. If you're looking at it in a Bible or on your service outline, you'll see, well, you won't see it in your service outline, you'll need a real Bible for this, but you'll see that it follows on immediately after Jesus has just told a paralyzed man that his sins were forgiven and that he could walk again. And it's happened in a way that's left everyone astonished, which is actually the passage we looked at last time in this occasional series. And so now Jesus moves on foot, out along the main road. And he sees a man named Matthew, who's one of those people who, when you see them at work, you probably don't even notice. I mean, a nuisance maybe more than a person. He's in a booth by the side of the road collecting tolls. He's a tax collector. One of our dear old friends back at our previous church was, in his working life, the deputy commissioner of taxation. And I think it always made him slightly uncomfortable when we came to passages like this, because in the time of Jesus, tax collectors like Matthew were despised for collaborating with the occupying Roman forces and profiting from it. In short, Matthew is a sellout. He's a traitor, a profiteer. Matthew's only Facebook friend is his mum. In fact, I think she's on the verge of unfriending him too. Now look, if you're a wannabe Messiah trying to build a following, Matthew is not the type you'd be seen dead with. And yet Jesus says to Matthew in his toll collector's booth, "Follow me, join me." And Matthew, we're told in verse 9, Matthew without delay gets up and follows Jesus. Which at this point in the story, as Matthew tells it, is as near as you'll get to a definition of what it means to be what we now call a Christian. Jesus says, "Follow," and no matter what you were, you hear the authority in his voice and you take him so seriously that you just drop what you're doing and you join him straight away, as Matthew does. And you'll notice, interestingly, the next thing you find is not a church service with robes and vestments, but a dinner party. And it's not a dinner party with the kind of proper people you'd be busting to be seen with, but the opposite. So it turns out I exaggerated. Matthew actually does have some friends. He's got plenty of friends. It's just that they're all the wrong kind of people. Are the tax collectors just as unpopular as he is? The kind of people generically back then who were labelled as sinners, people who didn't quite measure up to standard, people who didn't quite fit, people you wouldn't be seen dead with because they were from the wrong school or the wrong side of town, or they've got the wrong kind of job or the wrong kind of parents. Whatever they were, they certainly weren't the kind of people you would consider as religious or righteous or expect to see in church. Which is why the Pharisees in verse 11, who are just the opposite of that, can't believe their eyes. The Pharisees, you see, are rigorous. They will give 10% of everything, including the herbs growing in the little pots on their kitchen windowsill. And yet somehow they are the opposite of generous. The Pharisees critique everyone. They'll pick them up on mistakes in how they wash, what they eat, what they wear. And yet they, it seems, are the opposite of righteous because they've got no mercy. They are hard of heart. Which you see is why they're not impressed when Jesus is hanging around with all the kinds of people who don't toe their line. People who don't ceremonially wash properly. People who don't pray properly. People who can't or don't or won't measure up. So in verse 11, when the Pharisees see who he's eating with, they ask the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? I mean, doesn't he know who he's mixing with? The answer is, of course he knows. And look, this is coming up to one of the best things Jesus ever said. When he hears what they're saying, he says to them, don't you realize? It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And here it comes, number two in my list of the best things Jesus ever said, Matthew 9, verse 12. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. I haven't come to be the cheer squad for the impressive. I'm the ambulance for the damaged. I'm the emergency room for the spiritually broken. Look again, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Call me Dr. Jesus. In other words, it's not the Pharisees and their like that Jesus has come for, but the opposite, the kind of people who know that they don't measure up. The kind of people they know that there is something profoundly wrong with the human condition that can't be fixed with just a few ritual sacrifices. It needs a change of heart. I remember our friend Jane telling us when our kids were small, they had a pet guinea pig. This is a sad story, prepare yourself. One morning, one of their girls came running in from the backyard and asks Jane for a Band-Aid. Jane says, what for? The little girl says, I need it for the guinea pig, he's broken. Jane went out and saw the guinea pig had literally been chewed in half by a goanna. There are two pieces of guinea pig on the lawn. Jane says, sorry, sweetie, this is going to take a lot more than a Band-Aid. And Brianna says, oh, that's okay, Mum. Dad will fix it when he comes home. Oh, but you see, some things take more than a Band-Aid. It's not just a quick fix, the human condition. Look, if you want examples from even the news just in the last few months, the two richest men in the world, Bill Gates and that guy who just went up in his rocket, Jeff Bezos from Amazon. Rich, powerful, smart. You know, they can't even keep a promise to their wives, either of them. Some things take more than a Band-Aid. The human heart takes more than just a bit of religion, more than just a few more animal sacrifices, more than just making sure you do everything in the right order and the right way and keep the right rules. It was a heart problem. That's the Pharisees. And you see, the trouble is they don't think they have a problem at all. For those who see the problem, those who acknowledge it, those are the people Jesus has come for. Those are the people he is partying with at Matthew's house, scandalous or not. Now, you might be asking yourself, you see, why does this rate as one of the best things Jesus ever said? Do you reckon it is? I think it's fantastic because it means, you see, people like you and I qualify simply because Jesus came for ordinary and invites ordinary, sinful people like us into a kingdom not of pretense, but of grace, mercy, and peace that runs all the way down to the heart. Transformed heart by the Spirit. Jesus is tired of Pharisee games, tired of the self-proclaimed, self-satisfied, righteous in their own eyes types who love looking down at everyone else. Which means, see, if you're tired of people like that too, not sure perhaps you could ever be religious enough, not sure you could ever be righteous enough, all you need to do is be ready to come to him with your awkward, messed up life. There's room even for you. Dr. Jesus. With the promise that he's not going to leave us like that, but he'll start changing us from the inside out. Later on in Matthew's gospel, Jesus dishes out a set of seven woes on the Pharisees, seven condemnations like this one. He says to them, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee," he says, "first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean." The problem is, you see, the inside. This is the department of internal medicine that Dr. Jesus works in, not cosmetic surgery. It's the department of heart change, because dressing up the externals never produced a merciful heart. Oddly, never does. Not with the Pharisees back then, not with their own best efforts to be impressive or religious today, not with you, not with me. Just take a moment to imagine the alternative. What if we lived in a world where Jesus came and he said the exact opposite? He said, I haven't come to call sinners, but the righteous. If you've ever failed, I'm not here for you. If you've ever put a foot wrong, then you can forget it. If you haven't been morally pure every day of your life, you're out of luck. If you are not better than everybody else, then I'm not here for you. Only the cream of the city can apply. And even then, I'm going to be fussy. Imagine if Jesus had said that. So a gospel like that is not good news at all. But the great news is that is not what he says. Maybe you've been coming to Scott's every Sunday for the last 50 years, come rain, hail or shine, and you think somehow that's enough. That solves the problem. Or maybe, like I said, this morning's your first time. Maybe you have messed up just about everything you've put your hand to. And in your heart, you're so ashamed. See, either way, remember, Jesus says, "I haven't come for the impressively religious, but for sinners who know they've got a problem. I haven't come for the self-righteous Pharisees, for those who are religious and think they're righteous, but for the sick at heart, Dr. Jesus." Maybe this morning is a good time to do an internal audit, run some quick diagnostics, because maybe you've just been putting on a show, just like the Pharisees. Jesus calls them hypocrites, which literally in the Greek is a word that means mask wearers. Maybe that's been you. The great news is Jesus says, you don't need to put on a show. I am here to help. So listen to his words one more time. I haven't come to call the righteous. The righteous already, the self-righteous and religious. But sinners. I guess if we acted more as if the church was a hospital for sinners, people maybe wouldn't be quite so cynical. I guess if we thought of ourselves more as sinners who have found a saviour, we might come across as different to the outside world, a little bit humbler maybe, a little bit more careful about claiming the high moral ground, a little bit more ready to be vulnerable, a little less arrogant. Because so often, that's exactly how we're seen to be, isn't it? Let's change that and start by making sure we don't miss one of the best things Jesus ever said. I haven't come to call the righteous but sinners. That's us. I'm Dr. Jesus. Join the queue. I'm here to help. Now, you know, that is exactly what we mean every time we sing the hymn, Amazing Grace. The grace that saves wretches, that finds the lost, that opens the eyes of the blind.